Chapter 9. We emerged from the palace while the sun was still in part above the horizon. I was determined to reach the White Sphinx early the next morning. And ere the dusk, I proposed pushing through the woods that had stopped me on the previous journey. My plan was to go as far as possible that night, and then, building a fire, to sleep in the protection of its glare. Accordingly, as we went along, I gathered any sticks or dry grass I saw, presently had in my arms full of such litter. Thus loaded, our progress was slower than I had anticipated, and besides, Lena was tired, and I began to suffer from sleeplessness, too. So that it was full night before we reached the wood. Upon that shrubby hill and its edge, Lena should have stopped fearing the darkness before us, but a singular sense of impending calamity that should have indeed served me as warning drove me onward. I would have been without sleep for a night and 2 days. I was feverish and irritable. I felt sleep coming upon me and the Morlocks with it. While we hesitated among the black bushes behind us and the dim in their blackness, I saw 3 crouching figures. There was a shrub and grasses all around us. I did not feel safe from their insidious approach. The forest, I calculated, was rather less than a mile across, and if we should get through it to the bare hillside, there was, as it seemed to me, an altogether safer resting place. I thought that with my matches and camphor I would contrive to keep my path illuminated through the woods, yet it was evident that if I were to flourish matches with my hand, it should have abandoned my firewood, so rather reluctantly I put it down, and it came to my head that I should amaze our friends behind us by lighting it. It was to discover the atrocity and folly of this proceeding, but it came to my mind as an ingenious move for covering our retreat. I did know a rare thing flame must have been in the absence of man in temperate climate. The sun's heat is rarely strong enough to burn, even when focused by 2 drops, as is sometimes the case in more tropical districts. Lightning may blast and blacken, but it rarely gives rise to widespread fire. Decaying vegetation may occasionally smolder with the heat of fermentation. This rarely results in flame. In this decadence, too, the art of fire making had been forgotten on earth, and the red tongues that licked my leaf wood were altogether a new and strange thing to Lena. She wanted to run to it and play with it. I believe she would have cast herself in it had I not restrained her, but I caught her up and, in spite of her struggles, plunged boldly before me into the wood. But the little way the glare of the fire lit the path, presently I could see through the crowded stems from my heap of sticks the blaze had spread to some bushes adjacent, and the curved line of fire was creeping the grasses of the hill. I laughed at that and turned back at the dark trees before me. It was very black, and Lena clung to me convulsively, for we were still. As my eyes grew accustomed to the darkness, sufficient light for me to buoy the stems. Overhead it was simply black, except for a gap of remote blue sky. I struck none of those matches because I had no hand free. Upon my left arm I still carried my little one. In my right hand I carried my iron bar. For some way I heard nothing but the crackling twing under my feet and the faint rustle of breezes above, my own breathing and the throb of blood vessels in my ears. I could hear now pattering about me. I pushed on grimly. As the pattering grew more distinct, I caught some queer sound and voices I heard in the underworld. They were evidently several of the Morlocks. They were encircling upon me. Indeed, in another minute, I felt a tug at my coat and something at my arm. Lena, she reviled me and became quite still. It was time for a match, but to get one, I must put her down. I did so, and I fumbled my pocket, and struggle began in the darkness with my knees. Presently,